Okay, the boy said today's daf is daf nun beis. We're holding at the two dots, which is roughly a third down the amud, where the Gemara quotes from the Mishnah Kiyotze Boy Hamoylech Peirois Shvius. The focus is not going to be so much on those words, but more on the Shita of Reb Yehuda that we have in our Mishnah. It's integral for understanding the Gemara to go back to the Mishnah to understand what the Machloikis is and what Reb Yehuda is saying. So if we go back to Nun Amud Beis, at the very, very top of the Amud, starting on the first line, it says, Kiyotzeboy, similar to the two minhagim that we had at the outset of the Mishnah about those that worked on Erev Pesach before Chatzos and those that did not work before Chatzos. And we said, make sure, don't make any machloikis in. So Kiyotzeboy, similarly, Hamoylech Peirush Shvius, Mi Mokum Shekalu, Lemakim shaloi kalu, oy mimakim shaloi kalu, lemakim shekalu, chayu levaya. What is this all about? So you recall when we learned the Mishnah, we spoke about that during Shemitah year, there's a special din of biur. This din of biur, we learned from a pasuk. The Gemara is going to quote the pasuk in Miyat Hashem today on the Amud Beis. V'lev hemtecha, v'lachayu asher bi'artzecha, tia kol tvuasa le'achol. Which means, when it comes to Shemitah year, everything is hefker. Make sure not to hoard all the food and all the crops into your home. Make sure you leave something for the animals and the wild animals outside. So the Lashon HaPasuk is V'lev Hemtecha, your behemoth, V'lev Chaya, those are the wild animals, Asher Bi'artzecha, in your land, Tia Kol Tevuas Alecha, leave over food for them to eat. And the Gemara darshins that kola lechaya min hasode, kalei levehemtcha min habayis. That if you have hoarded so much food, that now the chayis are coming and knocking on the door and saying, you didn't leave anything for us. Then you have to be mavair, you have to go and eradicate, rid the extra food that you've hoarded in your house, because you have done so, and that's called biur. Exactly what biur means is a machloikis rishonim. Rashi learns biur is simply take the food out and now leave it outside your doorstep. Put it in the field. Restore it to the place where it was originally, so now the chayis won't come and complain, I have no food to eat. After all, that's the lashon of the Gemara. If you see that there's no longer food left in outside in the fields for the wild animals that are looking to eat something, then you have to go and do a biur. You have to remove some of that food from your home and give it to them. So now, even today in Eretz Yisrael, as we mentioned, when it's Shemitah year, they have zmanei biur based on the agricultural developments and processes. They know more or less when the zman biur is for the various crops, and they're not all the same time. So carrots is one time, and tomatoes is another time, and fruits is another time, and grain is another time, all different zman. So the Mishnah tells us, you have left a mokum shekalu, the mokum shloi kalu. You have a person who's living in Eretz Yisrael, it's Shemitah year, and he's being moilech peiros shvius, meaning he has in his knapsack, he has with him some Shemitah produce. And he's taking a makam shekalu from a place where there's no longer anything left for the behemoth and the chayas, or I should say for the chayas. So therefore, in that makam shekalu, one would have to go and do biur. And he takes the makam shloi kalu to another place where, Baruch Hashem, there's still plenty of food outside in the gardens and the fields, and people are not, we're not at the zman biur yet at the new makam that he has come to. Or fakert, just the opposite. I mean, makom shloi kalu. He leaves a place where there's still plenty of food outside in the forest, in the fields, and he comes to a place lemakom shekalu. He comes to a place where there's nothing left, and people are now mechuyev in biur. So what do? Says the Tanakama, chayv levayir. In other words, what the Tanakama is saying is that just like we said when it comes to Erev Pesach, you have to take upon yourself both chumras, the chumra of the makom shiyatz misham, and the chumra of the makom shebol lisham. Here too, he's going to have to do beer regardless of what the new minhag is, because he has to take upon himself the chumras both of his origin and the new makom where he has arrived. Good, simple. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, tzei v'havi l'cho afata. Go and say, go out and bring even you too. Now, what do those words mean? They seem to be somewhat emphatic and somewhat rhetorical, but what does Rabbi Yehuda say? And Rashi in the Mishnah said, guess what? Mefarish b'gemara. Reason why Rashi didn't tell us what the pirish is, because first we're going to start off with the, shall I say, the simple pshat. The Gemara is going to say that cannot be the pshat. The Gemara is going to give five new pshatim after that in our Mishnah. So we're going to have six altogether. The first that we start off with, the Gemara is going to quickly shoot down, and then five more as we go through the sugya. I guess Rashi didn't want to have a Rashi from here to Canarsie. He said, wait till the Gemara and you're going to get to all the pshat. So, Freit Gemara. Valesle, back to Nun Beis Amar Aleph. Valesle Rabbi Yehuda, Hodit Nan. Doesn't Rabbi Yehuda agree with what it says in the Mishnah? Noisen Olav Chumri HaMokim Sheyotze Misham, the Chumri HaMokim Shehalach Lisham. That you have the Chumris both of the Mokim from which you left, in other words, from your origin, as well as where you have arrived. Now, what did Rabbi Yehuda say differently that the Gemara is asking this question? He does hold of that. Well, what's the Shaila? So, to understand that, we have to look at the Rashi. Rashi is the first narrow line here in Nun Beis Amar Aleph, says Rashi, but let's let Rabbi Yehuda, Temashma, it sounds like from what Rabbi Yehuda said, that he said, Tzei v'havi l'cho af'ata, it sounds like that what he's saying is, Temashma sh'yocho loymar loy ben mokayim. Shuloi kalu, a person who comes from a place where loi kalu means that there's still food out in the field, he could say leben mokim shekalu if he has now arrived in that new town where it's a mokim shekalu, where unfortunately there's no food left. He can go and say to them, Rebbe Leibman, don't tell me advice and musr that I have to go and take all this food that I brought along and I have to put it out there in the field. Because you can go back to the town where I was originally, and there's plenty of food over there for the chayas and for the behemoths and lahavdil for the people. And take from there, buy from there, not buy, you can go out in the fields and be koinim in a hefker, and bring back here, and the food that you have here, in this in their house, here locally, asur, okay, those will be asur, and those you should go and put out in the fields. However, you can go and get a brand new supply of food, just like me, from the town that I came from. There's still tons of food over there. What's the time? What's the reason of Rabbi Yehuda? Mishum de Godlu Kan. Those that grew over here, Asurin, those Taka put out. Ubezeha Mokim Kalu. Aval Ani Hevesi Eshel Even Mokim Heter. What time is the Avani? The food that I brought was from Mokim Heter. Then come Achloikis. You can go and have the best of both worlds. You live over here, you have problems because of Kalu. Go back to the town that I just came from. It's only a day away. Go and travel, go by horse, go by buggy, take a taxi, and you'll find that there's plenty of food over there. Buy food and bring it. Go get food and bring it here, just like me. And apparently, the less later Yehuda, the osir mishum chumri makim shalach l'sham. That he says, I'm not concerned that locally the minig is kolu kolu. You have to do beer. No, no, no. Go and bring food from there. Etc. Anyway, the point is, the way the Gemara is learning at this point is that Rabbi Yehuda is telling all those critics that he comes, this traveler is coming from a Mokim Shulei Kalu. Baruch Hashem, still plenty of food. That's why he brought food with him in his backpack, because he said, there's plenty of food, I don't have to put it out to the, it's not the Zman Beer yet. The place that he arrives, it is the Zman Beer. People saying, no, no, take that food, put it outside, don't carry it with you, you're not allowed to. So he says to them, well, don't scream at me. Just like I brought food from that other town that I was yesterday, you can get the same food from there too. And that's the Lashon of the Mishnah. Yehuda Omer, Tzei v'havi l'cho af'ata. You too can go back to where I came from and bring for yourself and eat and gizintahait and don't complain. Okay, well, it's a very nice, emphatic statement. But Freitei Mar v'lesler b'yudat nan, does he disagree with what we learned? Don't go and give advice go back to where I came from. Lemaisa, don't you have the chumras on both sides? And if you have the chumras on both sides, Rabbi Yehuda, you should go and tell the traveler, go and comply with the local custom, and the local custom and the local requirement is that you have to be a kolu, go and do biur. That's the Gemara's kasha. Omer of Shisha Bered Avidi, Miltzach Ritikama. To answer this kasha, we have to do a slight chsuri mechsura. We have to add to our Mishnah a few words. Even though the Gemara says Miltzach Ritikama of Yehuda, as you'll see, and as Rashi explained, it's really we're adding words to the Tanakhama, and then we'll understand Rabbi Yehuda's response. Vachikama. In addition to what we had in the Tanakhama, remember the Tanakhama spoke about from Mokum Shekolu L'makom she'loikalu, or from makom she'loikalu L'makom she'kalu. And now we're going to add another case. Oy mi makom she'loikalu L'makom she'loikalu. He brought food from a place where, at that time, when he left yesterday or last week, at that point, loikalu, there was plenty of food out in the field, and it was not the Zman Bir yet. And guess what? He arrived now at a new place where also, Baruch Hashem, there's plenty of food for the Chayas. It's not the Zman Bir yet. What's the problem? The Shoma Shekolu Bimkoimoi. He heard somebody sent him a telegram. He just got a fax, an email. Someone called him on the phone. Did you hear what happened? What happened? There's no food left in the back in the old town where you were before. In fact, all the Chayas have gotten together in front of the Capitol building. They want to go and storm the building because they want food. We want food. And so therefore, it's already Kalu L'mokam, and you have to do beer out in that back place where you were before. Since it's time to come, okay, Chayv Levayr. Since we have the Chumri Amokam Shiyotz Misham, and you just heard now the good news that it's Kalu, that there they need the food for the Chayas. Okay, so you have to Mimavayr here, even though locally you don't need to. There's plenty of food. You have to go Mimavayr. That's what the Tanakhama says. Rabbi Yehuda says, I don't understand why. Rabbi Yehuda says, we're not talking about brand new food. We're talking about the original food that I took at the time when it was Loikalu. And so therefore, you guys as well can go and take mehecha de aisinu from that earlier food, v'hole kaluhu. Or Rabbi Yehuda is telling all of those people from the old town that say, you better go and do now beer because we're doing beer. He can say then, you don't have to do that. Come to the town that I am now residing in, this brand new town that I've moved to, the Mokoim Sheh. Holach l'sham, Baruch Hashem, there's still plenty of food here. That's why it's loikalu. Remember, he only heard Shema Shekolim Koimoi, the old town where he was originally, town one. But where I'm now, Baruch Hashem is a makrish loikalu. So, Chevra, you're complaining, you're upset. Kim teher, come over here and you can go and get food from my new town where I am presently. But loikalu, Baruch Hashem, nothing missing, there's plenty of food, come and get it. Says the Gemara, that on the surface sounds like a good pshat, but I have a big basic problem. Lememed Rabbi Yehuda lekulikamar. Are you telling me Rabbi Yehuda is giving us kulis? Va'omer Rabbi Lazar le'omer Rabbi Yehuda ela lechumra. Rabbi Yehuda is coming to go and be machmir. How did Rabbi Lazar know that Rabbi Yehuda is coming to be machmir? Says Rashi. If you look down two lines, lechumra amr Rabbi Yehuda hachi havegom loth Rabbi Lazar mirabe. Rabbi Lazar had such a Kabbalah Masayra from his Rebbe. Rabbi Lazar's Rebbe is usually Rabbi Yochanan. That Rabbi Yehuda Amar L'chumra, that when Rabbi Yehuda in our Mishnah was saying he's telling us a chumra. When you look at the words on the surface, superficially, it sounds like Rabbi Yehuda is giving a kula, yeah, that you're criticizing this traveler. And Rabbi Yehuda says, no, you can do the same thing, go back here, go there, there's still plenty of food, don't bother me. It sounds like a kula. But Rabbi Lazar had such a Kabbalah, and that's why Rashi says, how did Rabbi Lazar know that? He had a Kabbalah. That what? Liyom Rabbi Yehuda Ella L'chumra. So what's Pshat in the Mishnah? Says the Gemara, you're right. Ella Eper. We're going to go and switch it around. That what? The Tanakhama says that when he heard this report, the back in the old town where he lived previously, that it was Kala, you don't have to do anything. You don't have to do anything about that. After all, you're no longer in that town, and this produce came from before then, and now in the new town, where they call you, you're off the hook. No. Now, until now, we learned that the tseva habilucha was that the traveler is speaking to the other people, and he's saying to them, "Don't criticize me. Either in the old town or the new town, there's plenty of food, and you know, it's everything is fine." Here, Rashi says, both in this pshat and in the next pshat, that the townspeople are talking to him, and the Tanakhama says, "Ain't a chav levayr." Yehuda said, "No, you have to mevayr. Why you have to mevayr? Because they tell him. The other townspeople say to him, "Tzei v'hovilecha af ata meheichadai sinu, Mister, go back to the town where you brought these peiros from, and if you go back to that town, v'kaluhu, you'll see that there are no peiros left. So had you been there today, and it's kalu, you would have to take these peiros and put it out. You'd have to go and do the beer." So just because you moved from our town to some new place, oh, come back and you'll see everybody in town is going and opening up their doors and doing beer. You also got to go and do beer. So if you want to just take a quick look at the Rashi, Rashi Ela Epoch. That's Rashi right after the Chumash. Ela Epoch, Toisefes Zu, Shoisafto on the Mishnah. That line that we added, remember, because none of this appears in the Mishnah, when I say none, this new case that we left a makam shaloi kalu, we came to a makam shaloi kalu, the shama, and he heard that in his original town is kalu. This tosefes that we added, the ema, oh, Rashi quotes it, in the makam shaloi kalu, makam shaloi kalu, the shama kalu bim koiman, meaning the original place. Ein echav levayer, that's the Tanakhama. Why ein echav levayer? The ein kam misham chumri makam shiyatsa misham. I don't see the chumri makam shiyatsa misham. Sheke choytziyayim, when he left his mokum shiyatz misham, adayin lo nasru. There was no issur at that time, so there was no chumra there. You came here to this place, it's a mokum shleik kalu, there's no chumra over here. So, everything is great, you don't have to do anything. Yehuda, no. Yesh kan zilzul mekoymoy. This is a zizoyin of his original place. The Amri lei b'nei mekoymoy harishayin. His former neighbors go and tell him, not that he's talking to them, they're telling him, go back to that place where you took the peters from originally. The Timtah Shekvar Kolin, you'll see, there's nothing left. All of the fields are barren, there's nothing left. So therefore you do have a chiyuv, after all, to go and do the biur. So this is the biur now in Rabbi Yehuda, that we asked, what does Rabbi Yehuda come to say? It's not that the traveler is telling the townspeople, but the townspeople are telling the traveler. So we have now, based on this, two new pshatim in the Mishnah. The first pshat, which the Gemara sounded like was great, but Rabbi Loza rejected because of the fact that Rabbi Yehuda is coming lahachmir and not lahakel, and both of them involved adding that additional line of l'makom shalai kalu, l'makom shalai kalu, v'shama shekalu. Abaye Omar. Abaye is now giving pshat number three. And he says, Omar le'olam kibitani. You don't have to do any emendations, any modifications of the Mishnah. Leave it the way it was. But rather pshat is azen. Oimi makim shalei kalu l'makim shekalu. Like we said, person left in place with shalei kalu. At the time that he took the food, no problem. There was plenty of food out in the field. There was not the Zman Biur. He took a Lamakim Shekalu, he took to a place where it already was the Zman Biur. And the Echzir Lekoyman. And after he arrived in the new town, and they told him, Rabid, what do you have there in your backpack? Oh, don't you see? I have all these types of different carrots and tomatoes and onions and potatoes and this and that. Oh, you can't keep those. Got to put them out in the field. After all the animals are here. He said, you know what? What do I need this for? He went back to his original town, and his original town is in Makam Shalei Kalu, so he was able to continue eating them, and he didn't have to do the beer, at least so he thinks. And Baruch Hashem, when he came back to his original town, it took him a day or two, but when he got back, Baruch Hashem, everything is still fine. Okay, just because he was in this new town for 5 minutes or 10 minutes or whatever it was, the bottom line is, the food that he brought to that town was from a makam shalai kalu. He brought it to a makam shekalu. Okay, but I'm not going to stay here. I'm going right back. And he went back to his original town. But dying the kalu, so you don't send me my fire. Rabbi Yehuda Oyman, no. Tzei v'havi l'cho af'ata mehecha daisinu v'kaluhu. Says Rabbi Yehuda, once again Rashi says, that now the people of the new town are telling him, no, no, no. Once you arrived in our community, since it's a Makom Shekalu,
we call it the
exactly.
You are stuck here, and now you have to go and put it out, and you can't go and say, I'm going back home. Yeah. And even if you go back home, you still have to go and do the beer, because that's the meaning of Makom. Why is it nuts?
Because it's his property. He obviously is not staying in the place where he has to put it out already.
Stop. Maskifla Rav Ashi Rav Yehuda Otu Agaba Techamra Kaltinu. Just because the payers are still in his backpack, which happened to be lying on back of his chamor, on the back of his donkey, does that mean he was kolut? Kolut, as you heard from Brother Shai before, does that mean that he's now been absorbed into that new community? He came there for 5-10 minutes. He heard the good news that kolu, and he says, "What do I need this for?" That means I'm going back home. Machta Plata comes immediately home. So just because he's been there for a few minutes, that you say that the Avir is coiling him somehow, that he's become a new resident, just because he was there for a short period of time.
It's like somebody working here and having to pay taxes in New York, even though they're here temporarily. Unheard of.
Unheard of. Anyway, so bottom line is, the Gemara doesn't like that pshat, and therefore we go now from pshat 3 to pshat 4. El Amar Vashi, Betlukta Dani Tanoi, a brand new pshat, did not. HaKoivesh Shloisha Kivoshim Bechovies Achas. A person is making pickles, but he's not making pickles only out of cucumbers. He is trying to preserve 3 different types of vegetables at one time in the same chovies, in the same barrel.
A gardenia, I think. They call it gardenia.
Called gardenia?
Yeah, where they put the cauliflower and the carrots and the peppers and uh-huh. They pickle them all at once.
Okay, Rabbi Isai, for those of you that are not familiar.
Never heard of that in my entire life.
Yeah, well, a garden.
It's
a garden variety of all different types of vegetables.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Okay. Now, if you're wondering which vegetables are we talking about, so if you look at the fourth Tosis here, HaKoivish Loisha Kivoshim, so Tosis is going lefes, that's turnips, Ubotzel is onions, and Kaflut is leeks, all the 3 of them, She'ein Bi'uran Shova. The reason why we're getting into this is because the Zman Bir is different for each one of these 3 species. Meaning, it could very well be that there's no turnips left, but if you go out in the field, there's still onions and there's still leeks. So therefore, vis-a-vis the turnips, if you have turnips in your pantry, you have to mimavire them. There's nothing left. If now when it comes the later Zman Lamoshul for the Betzalim a week or 2 weeks later, if you have onions, you got to do your beer. Your kaflut you can still hold on to for another 3 weeks until the Zman beer there. But anyway, so you have these 3 different minim all sitting together in the same, being preserved and being pickled in the same barrel at one time. Okay. Now you get that bulletin that shows the different Zmani beer for the lefes, the butz, and the kaflut, and one of the Zmani beer has passed for one of the 3 species. What do we do now? The other 2, the Zman beer has not arrived yet, but for one of the 3, it has arrived. So as you're going to see now, in the Gemara, there's going to be a 3-way machlokes. Zok the Tanikama, Kavish Loisha Koshim, Bechav Yisachas, Reb Lezer Omer, Oichlin al Harishoin. What means Oichlin al Harishoin? Reb Lezer is the one that's most machmir, and he says, as soon as the first Zman beer happens, that's it, boys. It's curtains for all 3. You have to take all 3 out into the field. What's the reason why all 3 are usur? Because they've all been kovished together. Rashi says, Kavshayu Meshabaluhu Kechad. It's as if it's one family. It's not just, so it's not just a question of, you know, this is some sort of a nice thought or a poetic thought, but it's also the inyan of tam ki'ikr. The ones you pickle all the 3 together, so then the kaflut and the botzel are going to get a little bit of the tam of the lefes, and the lefes is going to get a little tam of the botzel and the kaflut, and they're all going to have now that mixed garden variety flavor, all 3. So that being the case, it's not just assuming that, for instance, the Zman beer is for the lefes. The botzel and the kaflut themselves are also psashtiko lefes because they've gotten some of the tam of the lefes.
Does beer depend on tam?
Sorry?
So beer depends on tam?
According to the first Tanakam. Okay. He's saying that not only do you have to do the beer of the actual mamashis, but even of the tam kikar, everything has to go. That's a grace of chumrah. Rabbi Shua oimer af al achron. Rabbi Shua is makel in the other direction, and he says, you know what? You don't have to be mavair the first or the second until it gets to the third. Because they become this merged family, and the tam of all of them are now kind of all mixed. After all, they're being preserved. It's not just in a regular water. Rashi says, for instance, you put it into chaymitz, for instance. So now when it's pickling, so then they start getting the tam of each other, and they all kind of merge into one. So you can go and hold off and be mavayir any of the first two until you get to the zman beer of number three. Ram Gamliel is Yovi Kosha Shlish Vachri Benayim, Kosha Kolo Mina Menasod, Yavai Mina Menachavias. You have three Minim over here. If the Zman of the Lefes has come, take out all the Lefes and hey, take him outside, do the beer. But the other two you can leave until their respective Zmane beer. Okay, so fascinating machlokes. According to Blazer, they all become merged, and therefore I have a Chumrah, as soon as the first one has to go, they all have to go. Rabbi Shua takes it as a kula, only when the last one has to go, do all three have to go. What Ram Gamliel says, Kol Shekola, each one individual, just the fact that they happen to be in this chavis together, doesn't mean they merge into a family. In fact, there might be some sibling rivalry between the three. Who says that they are so happy together that there's been such a havas Yisrael between the three, or havas Peiris? Could be that they're fighting it out. So therefore, when each man beer, is like Rabbi Gamliel. Now, what does that have to do with our Mishnah? So Rashi explains that Tanakama holds like Rabbi Yeshua, that you can go and wait until the Achron, until the final one. And therefore, Einu Chayv Levayr until this man beer comes for number three. Okay? How do I see that in the Tanakama? After all, the Tanakama is not talking about Kavush. So Rashi says, because since the Mishnah focuses on Mi Mokim Shalai Kolu, Le Mokim Shekolu, Kolu has that feel, says Rashi, Shekulon, all of them have to now be Mavur. All of them has to be taken out and you're doing your beer. That's the Lashon of Kolu, Kolu Kulon. Av Kolu Muktsasan, says Rashi, like Rabbi Yeshua says, let's take a look at Rashi. Two lines before the wide lines down below. Two lines before the wide lines. Al smach min hakola achrein. You can wait for the first two and wait until the third zman beer. It's kind of unfair, because as far as the chayis are concerned, do I care whether you preserved it and you pickled it? But that's the halacha according to Rabbi Yeshua, that you get an extension on the first two minim, that they can wait until the third zman beer. V'tana the masisin for Rabbi Yehuda Bapaligi, that's the machlokes. V'tana kamas of the Rabbi Yeshua, the mekel v'achikim mishtama the milzei. Where do we see this machlokes in the words? It says in the Mishnah, min makim shaloi kalu, l'makim shekalu. And therefore, how do we understand the word kalu? Kulon chayev levayet. That all the minim in the town, it's the zman kilo, the zman beer has arrived. Av kalu miktsasan. If only some zmani beer have arrived, but not all of them. Oichel af mi mina kala kira bishua to oichlen af halu achren. So you had three zmani beer. Even though the first two have passed, you can continue eating and consuming until you hit this third zman beer, and then you have to go and put them all out. You have to do mavayim. Rabbi Yehuda Eimer, say v'havi lecha af ata mi oise hamin min hasode. Rabbi Yehuda says, fellas, do me a favor. Those first two, do you find anything left in the field? And the answer is no. There's nothing left. No, if that's the case, show me that there's still any lefes or butzel in the garden, in the field. I'm sorry, there is not. No, if that's the case, no, it's you're not going to find it. The also can run the wheel. The wheel says, as soon as this man beer hits, take out the lefes. The second man beer, take out the butzel. The third man beer is the Kaflut. And so therefore this is the new pshat now. This is pshat number four, the pshat of Rav Ashi.
So according to the Mekel of Rav Yeshua, Afmin Afal Achron, That, so you'll be, one mirror is the latest time of any
of those three, of those three
mirrors. Because they're put together, or
it's all one family now. So the first two now have adopted the practices.
Also talking about a kavush case then.
Again, all of this is a kavush case.
Okay, now we're moving away from that, but now we're saying it's all a kavush case.
So we're not to, in our Mishnah, we're talking about a kavush case?
We are being medayik from our Mishnah that that's what these two men, the Amru, would hold. Our Mishnah is talking about
a Jastam, a guy in a backpack coming into a town.
Exactly. And since it says Mokam Shekalu, that means Kalu Kulan, not Kalu Miktsasa. What happens only Miktsas and not Miktsas. So give me an example of the case of the Kalush. Okay. In the case where you have Miktsas, some of the Zmani Bir have passed and some of the Zmani Bir have not passed. Since it's Anakama, if it's Kalush, I wait until the final Zman Bir of these three Minim. According to Yehuda, what are you talking about? Save over the Chafata. Do I see those first Min or two in the field? No. Aros. Just like in Gamliel, you have to do your Bir right now. So that's pshat number four, and now we come up to the final pshat, a pshat of Ravina. Ravina Amar b'plukta tani tenoi. This man we learned in the Mishnah. Oichlen b'tmorim ad sheichlehu achren shebitzoyar. Now before we continue on, we're going to do a quick hagdama based on what we're going to learn on the Amud Beis. And that is, we're going to see on the Amud Beis that Eretz Yisrael is divided into three major regions for purposes of biur during the Shemitah year. We're going to have the Galil, we're going to have the Eivar HaYarden, and then we're going to have Yehuda. Those three regions. Within each one of those regions, the Zman Bir is the same everywhere. So for instance, in Yehuda, if you have 12 different towns and cities, even though in 5 of the towns, there is already Kolo L'chaim in Asada, doesn't bother me. I go and call up my friends that live in the other 7. They say, no, there's still plenty over here. And there's a chayis, they're still very happy. They're dancing. The hora, they're very delighted. There's so much food. So then, in the first 5 towns, I do not have to do beer. It's all within each region, even though there happen to be, I think Mar is going to tell us on the Amud Beis, that each one of these three regions were themselves subdivided into other three regions, mini regions. That doesn't bother me. The three mini regions are all considered to be one family, one region, and you go from right to left and from north to south and east to west, as long as somewhere in that whole region you have food out for the chayis in the field, it's not Zman Bir yet. What happens if in the Galil it's already Zman Bir, but in Yehuda it's not the Zman Bir? The people in Yehuda say, we are autonomous. We don't care what's going on in the Galil. We don't care what's going on in the Eivar HaYarden. We only have to worry about our region internally. So that's the loch, as we'll see in Yet Shem on the Amud Beis. So therefore the Gemara tells us now, person is in Eretz Yehuda. And in Eretz Yehuda, we are now dealing with tmorim, with dates. And the question is, when is the date of this Zman Bir for the dates? So where I happen to live locally in Yehuda, for instance in Yerushalayim, unfortunately, there are no dates left. It's very difficult. Even if you go online, it's very hard to find a date. Okay? However, I heard in Tsoyar, that was intentional, yeah. In Tsoyar, says Rashi, is the Ira Tamarim. You also know Yericha is also called the Ira Tamarim. But here the Gemara refers to Tsoyar as being the Ira Tamarim. And in Tsoyar, we're going to find out, since that is the Ira Tamarim, that's the center for all dates, we're going to find out, are there any dates left?
That's where Loko runs.
Mitzar, Tsoyar, Mitzar, exactly, yeah. The Malach, and you can still see the 12 Ishus lights which are still there in Malach. It depends which tour guide you speak to. But anyway, getting back to our Gemara, Oichlin b'tmorim, even though in Yerushalayim there are no dates left, you could continue eating dates. You don't have to do beer at Sheyichlo Achron Shebetzoyar until the final one in the era tomorrow in Tzoyar. There's no tomorrow left over there. Reb Shimon Bar Yehiel Omer Oichlin al shel ben kippin vein oichlin al shel ben ha shitzin. What does that mean? So Rashi says, as we know, dekels, palm trees, from which you have the dates. Palm trees typically are date trees. The dates grow, as you know, at the top of the trees. Very often, palm trees are very tall, like you see in Florida, etc. So you have the dates on the top there. So what? How do you get the dates down? Says Rashi, very often you'll have a nice strong wind, and the wind is going to blow the ripened dates down from the top of the tree, and they're going to fall down. Where are they going to fall down to? Some of them are going to get stuck on the kippin. Kippin means branches or protrusions sticking out from the trees, which are obviously easy to go by because they have, many of them are going to be the level of a person or the habdul, an animal, so they can easily get from those fruits. However, some of them are going to fall all the way down to the ground, and the date trees that we're talking about all had like little thorn bushes, or at least lots of thorns at the base of the tree, so that it's difficult to extract those tamar. Obviously, if you're desperate, then you'll go down to the thorns and you get pricks all over, but you're going to get the tamar. On the other hand, if you're not desperate, then you know, you're not going to go take benashitza. So the question is, there are still some of the peiris left in the shitzin, but there are no peiris left in the kippin. What's the halacha now legabe bir? Can I go and keep my peiris at home because I know that there are still peiris down below in the shitzin? Or can I not keep the peiris because there are no peiris left easily accessible, not only to mankind, but easily accessible to the chayis? The chayis also don't want to get thorns and scratched and scraped and all the rest.
They can't reach the branches, though.
The branches are shoulder level. That they can reach.
On a date tree, they have like something like this. The protrusions, and that's where they fall.
Exactly.
Or other plants below. They fall onto other plants below that are shoulder height or
exactly. Exactly. They're high enough that we don't get to the shitzim level. Let's look at the top Rashi. Rashi explains it much more beautifully than I do. Oichlan al shel bein hakipin derech bekolim liois beikron. Typically, next to the ikron, meaning next to the base, you have koitzim sagav, a whole bunch of thorns down below, and behainu shitzim, and we call those thorned shitzim. Umen adekel atzmonhein, and they come from the dekel tree itself. Ulamala, and higher up, alin shaloi, the alin, those are the leaves or the branches, etc. Asuin kisidran are, you know, normal. Kimin kapois tamarim, like you would find on the lulavs. Ukisha ruach manashiv hat tamarim noiflin. And when there happens to be a strong wind, the tamarim fall down from up above. The nisharim ba'isim kippin, and many of them will fall in the kippin in these kapois tamarim and the leaves, etc. Ulamala b'shitzin and mata b'shitzin. Some of them are going to fall away down to the bottom. V'kom Reb Shimon. This is Reb Shimon speaking. The kolzman shemitzuyin b'kippin. As long as it's still keep in length or keep in height, no problem, then there's no zman bir. Even though there's still plenty of tamarim down below in the shitzin, that's already not enough to go and say, well, no, there's plenty of chayis. The chayis is, I'm nervous to go and get scratched up in the, what do I need it for? And therefore, Masisa Hachin Kama. Tanakama says, Kolali Gamri, Afi Ben Ashitz, and then you chayv levayer. Avakolim and Akipin, Vadain Yesh Beshitz, and then you chayv levayer. Yechonish is Arachmunis on the chay. And the chay will have to figure out what it's going to do. What can
not
I do?
Not my problem.
Not my problem, it's the chay's problem. Rabbi Yehuda Omer, Tseiba Avilacha, Afatam Imokam Aroy Litlan. Why don't you see whether you go and temporarily see whether you can go and be like a chay and see whether you can go and find any tmar? You're not going to find any easily accessible. You're only going to find them among the koitim. You're going to say, I'm staying away. I don't want to get, I won't eat any dates. So what can you do? It's always difficult to get a date. So it continues to get difficult. Ulechumra Amar Reb Yehuda, and Reb Yehuda again is Machmer, like we've said in the last four pshatim. Reb Yehuda is Machmer against the Tanakama. And with this, we have concluded now five separate new pshatim in the Mishnah, and that's why the Rashi said, Mefarish b'Gemara, wait till we get to Gemara and you'll see all the five different pshatim. And because we just started speaking about the different regions, now the Gemara goes off on a tangent a little bit.
It's got nothing to do with the practicality of whether he's been.
Well, look at the way Rashi quoted it. The Buddhist says, "Say v'habilecha afata." You Tanakama say, "Oh, there are tons of tamarim out there still next to the trees in the shitzin. So why do I have to be kolam and abayis? Why do I have to do bir?" Says Rabbi Yehuda, "Afata, you Tanakama,
you try and get them.
You try to get those fruits out there. You're saying that
it's so abundant. You get them abundant.
Exactly. You're saying that the chayis can go and get it, and therefore I don't have to do bir. Let me see what you can do." Rabbi Yehuda, "I'm say v'habilecha afata. You try it out. I can't get to them because of the shitzin. Guess what? The chayis can't get to them either. Oh, chayis can't get to them. You have to go and do beer.
But the Melech would say in such a situation, it shows Kashbohu's creation. You want his food for mankind, not animals. So they should be out of their reach. So we should be able to benefit from these foods.
Very good. Okay.
The Rabbi Yehuda would say that works out, but it doesn't flow well from the Mishnah. What's that do with Ben Kiefen or Ben Kotzen?
What he's saying is that in this Mokum that we now find ourselves, it is kind of a hybrid situation. It's both kolu and loy kolu.
Yeah.
In which respect, from the kippin, it's very kolu. From the sheetzin, it's loy kolu. So what is the overriding, what's the major factor? It's the Tanakama. As long as it's somewhere out there, I don't care, here, on top and bottom. Says Rabbi Yehuda, you try to bring those things from the sheetzin, you'll see it's brutal. You're going to get your hands all cut up. So therefore, you have to be mevayim.
Wasn't so much for the animals, no?
That's the whole Indian of beer. It says kalei, kala le chayim and asoda kalei le v'hamtcha min abayis. If there's nothing left outside, you have to be mavai. Yes, Barry.
In the Shemitah year, it's usually food is very scarce. Mm-hmm. People are very hungry and a little bit desperate.
Right.
So
paint a very bleak picture.
What?
Especially if there's a pandemic going on at the same time.
It's the truth. The trouble people have in Shvi'is here before modern agriculture made things so abundant.
Yeah.
If we know from the Gemara in Gittin, for instance, in a time of famine, people are very desperate. They'll eat. They'll find grain wherever they can find it.
Right.
So when we say it's, I mean, if people are hungry, the nokshim go and they shake the last olives on the tree and everything. When people are hungry and they're desperate, these sheets, they'll get scratched up, they're hungry. Never mind the animals. People are going to go and hunt this down and get whatever food they can.
Yeah. Well, we're not talking about there's no food left. We're talking about the tomorrow. There's still plenty of apples and oranges and bananas and other things. So what we're saying is, vis-a-vis the tomorrow, when does this man beer hit? This man beer hits, according to Tanakama, as long as there's still something outside. As you say, it's bleak, but the animals will have to do...
struggle.
Will have to struggle to deal with the bleakness of the situation. And the Rebuter says, oh, no, we're not going to wait for the sheetzin. As soon as there's nothing left in the keeping...
That's the thing, Rebuter's remark is to the people, people, go out, you go and get it out.
Exactly.
But a person has human intelligence, hopefully, and they go to get the tamarim out of the thorny areas.
Right.
They're using touch where it's Rabbi Yehuda's not saying he's being rhetorical. He's saying
100%.
You make yourself like a chaya, you go get it.
Exactly.
I mean, is that what he's saying?
100%. It's a rhetorical comment. He's saying just like you find difficulty, the chayas also find it difficult. Yes, sure. Yeah. We're waiting for a comment. Yes.
Beer is you take it to the house, right?
Right.
As long as there's enough for the animals outside, you can keep it in your house.
Correct.
No more left.
You got to take it out.
Afford it anymore. So you can't sell it because it's Shvi'is.
But why is that beer? Why can't you just put it out in the field? The pork is supposed to be environment.
Sorry, I don't. What's your question? I don't understand what your question is.
Good question.
Yeah. What happens? So you take what you have left in your house and you burn it.
No. It's a machlokes. If you want to look at Rashi, Mishum Shinema Ba'artzecha. Rashi is over here. Mishum, you have that? Rashi, Mishum Shinema Ba'artzecha?
Yes, I do. Chaya, Asher Ba'artzecha.
Okay, now please say the Rashi back. If Zeu Bi'uron.
Shemafkirin B'makom D'Isas Chaya B'him. Okay, fine.
You take it out of your house and you put it outside.
Well,
Chai is behind us, Kim, plenty of food, come.
Or people, no?
The reason why you're doing it is because of the pasuk for the Hemt of L'chai. That's the more he's going to quote. So he's saying, if the Chai is saying there's nothing left, then you stop hoarding and take all the food. You don't have to be sorry. In fact, it's a machloik, because the Rambam holds beer means like beer chumas, you have to go and burn it. But that's not the way other Rishonim learn. The Rashi says, you see the Fetish, take it outside.
Stop, Rashi makes
more sense. When we get to the Madrega of the Rambam, and Rashi will be able to decide who
makes more logic. Why? Just to make sure that you should have the house, you don't want to have it.
Let's say that it's easier to follow to understand the Rashi.
Right. It's also you burn it, you don't put it out there.
Yeah.
Because it's Achila for everybody.
Okay, anyway, let's continue on. Tanan Asim. Now we're basically going to repeat what we talked about, the three regions. We learned in the Mishnah, Sholish Arotz is Labir. Yes, Yehuda, Eva Yardin, the Galit. And within the three regions, you had three mini regions in each one. Sub regions. In which respect is a shalish haratzis? Why are we telling us this? We're talking about the three big regions. You can continue eating in each one of the regions as long as in any one of the towns or cities within that region there's still food left for the chayis in the saga. The zman bir has not hit yet. So you get the latest zman bir of the entire region. Where do you take this from? And the Gemara dashed. Listen to the behemoth and the chayas. As long as the chayas says, I got plenty of tamarim, and they're not neshitin, they're up above, I'm able to eat. Then you can go and leave the food at home, and you can serve yourselves, and you can go and give to the behemoth, everything is fine. But if the chayas says, there's no food left, now you have to go and take out the food that you were hoarding. Don't keep it for yourself. Don't keep it for the behemoth. But you got to take it out. You have to do the beer. Ugmiri. Now, what does it have to do with us? We're talking about the three regions. Ugmiri, we have a Kabbalah. De'ein chayi shem Yehuda gedela al peiru shem begolil. Ve'ein chayi shem begolil gedela al peiru shem Yehuda. Which means that if you have a chayi that lives in Yehuda and does not find any local food, the chayi is not going to just sit there on its hands and say, okay, let the government support me and go and send me a check. The chayi is going to go to the next town, and to the next town, and to the next town. But it's only going to do that within its own region, within Yehuda. The chai is not going to go to the Galil. And the same thing applies. If you have a chai in the Galil, if in part of the Galil in Tveria there's nothing, he'll go to Tzvas. If there's nothing in Tzvas, he'll go to another place in Miron. He'll keep on going in Drenzach, but he doesn't go from one region to the other region. And so therefore, that is commuted that we have such a Kabbalah. And that's why we have the three regions to tell us that each one is autonomous vis-a-vis the Zman Bir. Tanurban, perish yotzim eretz yisrael to chutz laretz. What happens if I'm traveling from eretz yisrael to chutz laretz? Granted, there's a mishnah in the sechtes shvius that you're not supposed to go and export perish mita to chutz laretz. Yes. But this person did. Why did he? He's going against halacha. So the toisis on the bottom asks this kasha. He brings in the mishnah sechtes shvius emitzian. So Tosis says at the end, you can see, he did it by mistake. He didn't do it intentionally. He went to Chutz La'aretz, and afterwards he wrote, ay, Shmita here, and I took along sandwiches, I took along food.
Is that the guy who took Buster Kutchum out of your shalom?
Exactly right. Forget and we're going to have a similar type of machloikis here. Similar, very, very good parallel. Shkoyach. It's talking about, Peirish Yotmi Eretz Yisrael Chutz La'aretz. He's leaving Eretz Yisrael, he's going to Chutz La'aretz. Ay, and I have these payers, what am I supposed to do? And it's Zman Bior. I get a telegram, it's Zman Bir in Eretz Yisrael. What do I do with all these payers now? Zok the Tanaka, Misparin, Bechol, Mokim, Shehem. Wherever you want, you can do beer. In other words, you don't have to go back to Eretz Yisrael. You can do beer here in the middle of London, in France, in Bavel, wherever you happen to be, do the beer over there. Oh, no. You've got to go home. Why do you have to go home? Where does it say that in the pasuk? Mishum shenem, because it says in the pasuk be'artzecha. That's the pasuk which we just quoted. Lebemtechav lachay she'be'artzecha. You gotta go home, and you have to do beer. Of course, that's a tremendous tircha. The person's been traveling 3 months to Bavel. He has to go back with those payers. But that's the halach. Zokti Gemara. How do you learn be'artzecha to tell you the din of returning home? Ho'afikte. You used this be'artzecha already before. Now, where did we use the Barzecha before? Although the Gemara didn't say it with precision, but the Gemara darshan v'vem tochav l'chayah she Barzecha, and we said Gemira dein chayah she b'Yehuda g'day l'aperish b'golol v'golol g'day l'aperish b'Yehuda. That's telling of Barzecha that your Zman Bir is in that particular region. If you're a Yehuda person, you have this Zman Bir for Yehuda. If you're Galil, it's Galil. Eveyan, Eveyan. Oh, so Barzecha is telling us that the Zman Bir is uniform within the region. So how do you know now this Barzecha that you have to return home to do the beer of the Peiris Shmita? So Timore Koribei, Be'oretz, Be'artzecha, Inami, Me'asher, Be'artzecha. In other words, the Gemara is saying is these words lend themselves to two drushes. Because it could have said, L'vehemtuch of l'chaya, She'be'oretz, what does that say? Asher Barzecha? We know that Shmita is only referring to Eretz Yisrael from the prior Psukim. So, Barzecha, the extra chof seems to be Ibrik, that comes to tell you. Ba'aretz, Ba'artzecha, one of them tells you that one region, and the other tells you, Ba'artzecha, that you have to return home if you forgot you took Peder Shemitah out of Eretz Yisrael. Or it says, Asher Ba'artzecha. It could have said, Lebehem Techov Lachayet Ba'artzecha. Was the Asher Ba'artzecha? So it comes to tell you a second drasha. And now we have a real life story of Safra, Nofek Meretz Yisrael, L'chutz L'aretz. He traveled Chutz L'aretz, Havabadei, and he was traveling with him, he had with him garba de chamra, a pitcher full of wine, the shvias of shmita wine, and lova bahadei, and accompanying him, escorting him, were Rafuna bre Davika, v'Rav Kahana. And now this man beer is approaching, and he says to himself, "What am I going to do with this wine? If we drink it up in time, is good. But if not, do I have to go back all the way to Eretz Yisrael to go and pour it out over there to do the beer over there?" And remember, it was machlokes between the Tanakama and Reb Shimon Elazar. Reb Shimon Elazar was the grace of Machmir, and he said, "Yachsulim koyim li yisbari." You got to go back. So Reb Safra now is scratching his head, and he sees his two colleagues. Rashi points out that all three of them were talmidim of Reb Avohu. So now Reb Safra says to Rav Huna Bar Rav Ika and to Rav Kana, "Omlehu Ika deshmiyalei minei der babo." Halach Reb Shimon Elazar Eloi. Do you remember Vusat the Rebbe Gezukt? A Rebbe the Heilig Reb Avo. Did he say we pass on the Reb Shimon Elazar, or do we not pass on the Reb Shimon Elazar? Do I got to go home if we don't drink up this wine, or do we not have to go home? So Omer Reb Kahana, Hachi Omer Reb Avo. I remember Halach Reb Shimon Elazar. You're stuck. You're going to have to go home with that wine. Omer Reb Avo. Reb Ika, Hachi Omer Reb Avo. No, I remember. He said, "Ein Halacha Reb Shimon Elazar." You don't have to. So we have now a typical machloikis between the Talmidim. Rav Safra says, "I don't know what Reb Shimon Elazar said," and there's a machloikis now between Rav Huna and Rav Kahana as to what Reb Avo said.
Practically, if you go back, what do you do with the wine? You leave it out for the chayes to drink. It's wine. It's not question. Food. It's question. Not food.
No, we have to wait till we get to Masechet Shviyas. I don't know what you do with
the liquid. It's on the calendar for Daf Yom.
Okay, so. Omer Rav Safra, Nekoitai Klola de Rav Huna Biyadcha. Go and take the rule of Rav Huna. In other words, Rav Safra said, between these two Groisa Talmidim, my peers, Rav Huna Bered Ravika and Rav Kana, I prefer the Psak of Rav Huna.
Right.
Why do I prefer the Psak of Rav Huna? To Dayik V'gomish Maitza Mipume de Rabbe. He was very careful to be medactic every word. And before we get to Rachma Pabadisa, how do I know that Rav Huna was so medactic? So says Rashi, he forced his Rebbe to repeat everything a second time. Look at the Rashi, the narrow lines, the last three, four lines. The Kimlei, the Iyu, Daik, Shmaitim, the Pum, the Rabbi, Kisha, Shmua, Yosef, the Rabbi. When his Rebbe, Rebbe Vo, would say something, medactic, Oim, the Rabbi, Lishno, Yisem, Pam, Shni, would say, "Could you please review this again?" And if he was able to be boichen, yo, nish, nish, yo. In other words, he got a clear understanding of the sugya by asking his Rebbe always to repeat it a second time. Now, who else was so medactic, was so meticulous in his recording of what the Rebbe said? That was Rachba from Disa, the Amar Rachba. Amar of Yehuda, Har Habayis Stov, Kofel Hoya, Stov Lifnim Misa. We had this earlier on Namasechta, that the Harabayis had outside on the Harabayis, he had benches where people could go and sit, and it was a Stov Kofel Hoya. That means that there were like two sections, two rows, yeah. Stov Lifnim Misa. There were higher and lower ones, something similar to what you would see in an amphitheater or in a stadium, or Lahavdil in a movie house or something like that, a theater, where you have a higher level and a lower level, and that's the stuff, kofel hoya, stuff of nimi stuff, one in back of the other, in front of the other. Shine. So, where do I see from this that Rochba was such a medactic mipume de rabbe? It's not clear what the diktuk is. We have a machloikis between Rashi here and Rashi elsewhere. Here Rashi says, Karopa tumedisa, we're now into the middle wide lines. Shehoyim medaktik bishmu wasoi, Ladas Mimikibla. He wasn't so medactic in the substance as well as much as he wanted to know for sure who said this Dvar Halacha. Who said this Dvar Halacha about this Stov Kofel Stov Lefnami Stov? So continues Rashi. Rabbi Yehuda, Safik Shoma Me Rab Yehuda, Oy Me Reb Yehuda Nesia, Tavanami Bahu Dora. there were the two great Rav Yehuda the Amoira, or Rav Yehuda Nasir, the Einikol of the famous Rav Yehuda Nasi. Both of them lived in the same dar, and very often people, did you hear what Rav Yehuda said? Which Rav Yehuda? Is it Rav Yehuda or Rav Yehuda Nasir? And he was very medactic to know exactly which one it was. That's how Rashi learns over here. However, the Moisef Rashi brings over here from another Rashi in Masechtas Brachos a totally different pshat. What's a totally different pshat? When the Mishnah refers to the stuff, to this formation and structure of the various steps and the various terraces, one higher than the other, it usually uses the expression itztabo'os. It's only Rabbi Yehuda that used this term stav, and Rochba was very careful to repeat it just like his Rabbi, stav. People say, hey, what's this stav? What's that stav all about? Say itztabo'os. I'm makbet to say the way my Rebbe said it. If you look here in the Moisef Rashi in the left hand margin, about 7-8 lines in, the Daif Yigam Shmaitz and Pimei the Rabbi, Shu Medaktik Beloshin Rabbi, Bekadeya Boit Simon. In which respect, Yerachba, Shem Medaktik Beloshin Rabbi, the Oimer Stav Kafal Hoyet. Abu Bishan Beloshin Mishnah, Kareyu Itztaba, Imsachim, Ubisuke, Al Gabu Itztaba, who Diktik Beloshin Rabbi, and he would always say, Vilayam Itztaba, I didn't say Itztaba Kfula Hoysa. He would go and say, Stav. Now notice Rashi says, Yesh Poison, there's some others that understand the Gemara. Had Racham in the Omer Rebbe Yehuda, the Daik Sveiki de Rab Vosei, I met the Rebbe Yehuda, met Rav Yehuda, like Rashi said over here. The Kashali, the Gavatuva, it's hard to understand. Had Racham in the Omer Rebbe Yehuda, Mimi Omav, Loi Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi, Veloi Rebbe Yehuda, and he didn't see any of these people. I know he's referring to Rebbe Yehuda, Rebbe Loi, because Rebbe Loi was the Tana, that's Rebbe Yehuda, Jam the Mishnah, that's Rebbe Loi, which about, as you said,
that's even earlier than his grandfather, Rebbe Yehuda Kodesh.
Exactly. The Oid Kula Amiroi Nami Daiku Loima Dovim Shem Omer. Weren't all the Amiroim careful to go and repeat it? Yeah. But Oid Lekal Mami Hod Daik Lishna the Shmaitza. You're trying to bring a riot to that Reb Huna was very, very medactic in his Shmur, just like we find by Rachma. Rachma was apparently not so medactic in the substance of the halacha, he was just medactic in the Rebbe's. So what does it have to do with Reb Huna's psak that he's saying he heard from Mavo, kach v'kach? It's apples and oranges. And therefore, Rashi over there goes and rejects that pshat, and the Yesh Poiser is crowded with Rashi over here. So Rashi over here says this pshat, which Rashi in Baruch says, I don't like that pshat. And therefore, the pshat is about the stuff as opposed to the...
He doesn't like that stuff.
That stuff, yeah. Anyway, that's the story of the two. Now, of the two the colleagues of Rav Safra, Rav Huna and Rav Kahana, who was the machmir and who was the mekel?
The one who said that the halachic Shimon Elazar was the machmir.
The other one was the mekel.
Right.
And so, who was that? Rav Huna says was
mekel. He says the halacha is not like the machmir.
Exactly. Right. So we have over here clearly that Rav Safra is favoring the opinion of Rav Huna that was the mekel. And Rav Safra explained why am I favoring Rav Huna, because he's a great medactic. Rav Yosef was not impressed. And Rav Yosef said, now we're back to the Gemara, Kori Alei Rav Yosef. Rav Yosef said about Rav Safra that he fulfilled the Pasuk in Habakkuk, right? The Pasuk in Habakkuk. No, I'm sorry, in Hosea. My apologies. Ami be'etza yishol umaklu yagid loy. What does that mean? The Pasuk Pshat in this Pasuk is referring to that Hosea is giving a lot of mushel to Klal Yisrael. And the mussar is that my nation, instead of asking Hashem for all of its bakoshes and all of its needs, they ask the Avodah Zarah. Ami, my nation be'etzoi, and a piece of eitz, in a piece of wooden idol, Yishlo, they're going to ask. Umakloi, and Ishtek, and his staff, Yagloi. He's going to one that's going to go and tell him the Psuris Toivis, or whatever, eitz is Toivis. So that's, of course, a criticism of Klai Yisrael that unfortunately many people serve the Avodah Zarah. However, the way Rav Yosef is teaching it is umakloi, not the word mako from the Lashon of a staff, but a mekel yagadloi. Ami be'etzi yishol, he has a shayla, what should I do? He asks the mekel, and mekel is going to tell him, mekeloi magadloi, and he's following there for the divrei mekel, meaning Rav Huna against Rav Kahana. Okay, another story. Look, you might be loy kof kotz, kaf naisa to shvi is, it was Shmita year, and he cut down the kafnaisa tree. Kafnaisa, says Rashi, are tmorim ketanim sholi bishlu. We're talking about a date tree which had on the top of the tree dates, and the dates were not ripe yet. And he went, cut the tree down, and of course that means that these dates are not going to survive, right, because of the fact that he cut down the tree. Now there is, and many people are thinking to themselves at this time, isn't there a general prohibition of cutting down an eighth tilon, a fruit tree? Our Gemara is not dealing with that shayla today. In other Gemaras, it's mashma that if you have an overriding reason to do it, for instance, you need the lumber and it's worth much, much more than this tree is worth, it's already an old tree and the whole tree is only worth $50 because it only produces three tamarim a year, three dates, that's a goodish, and you can use it for lumber which is worth $1,000, so you're allowed to. Halacha l'maaseh, again, consult the Shulchan Aruch and a competent Orthodox authority. There is a another inyan also, it's much more Kabbalistic in nature, that if a person cuts down a tree, chulida, that could be very injurious and dangerous for a person's life. Again, we're not dealing with those shailas, only dealing now with the shaila of cutting down trees in Shmittier. So Rabbi Loi cut down a tree in Shmittier, and what was on top of the tree? Unripened dates. How could he do that? The Torah says that you're allowed to have all the fruits in Shmittier la'achla. The Gemara dash la'achla v'leiv l'schayda, and here the Gemara says la'achla v'leiv l'hafsid. You're not allowed to go and be maps. You're destroying them with all of these unripened dates. Maybe the din of la'achla v'leiv l'hafsid only applies when the peiros already are full fledged edible peiros, but if they're these premature, unripened peiros, maybe the din of hefsid doesn't apply yet, so therefore that's why he quickly cut it down when it's still kafnaisa. He didn't wait another month until they'd be fully ripened. Take tomorrow, but that's not true. From Rav Nachman, Amar Rav Avuah, Hani Mischali di Arla. Before we were talking about Shmita, now we're talking about Arla, but the Gemara equates the two throughout the rest of today's daf. Hani Mischali di Arla. Now, what exactly are Mischali? Rashi says that these are some sort of outer shell, like you have around nuts, for instance. If you have peanuts, you have that shell around it, or if you have other types of nuts that have all different types of shells, a walnut, as we know, you have to go and break the shell to go and get the nut inside. So mischal v'arl means also such a shell, and this shell was around also dates which are not ripe yet. Hani mischal v'arl, asiri. You're not allowed to have, you're not allowed to eat them, you're not allowed to have anoa from them, because they are a shomer. Although they're not technically a peri themselves, but since it's a shell around the peri, it has the same chashivas for purpose of arla, osir, bachila, ubhana. Shom leperi, emes hava. When, at what point in the development of the date do you have these mischali de arla, these shells? Bekufri, when they're very small. Kufri means when they're very small dates, like the kafnaisa that we just spoke about, the karelu peri. And notice, what did Rav Nachman say? That these are a shoyim leperi, even though this shell around it, explains Rashi, is only there on a temporary basis. After the dates start growing and growing, it falls away. So it's only there at the kufri stage. And we say that it's a shoyim leperi. So we see that kufri, which is the same as kufnaisa, are called peirois. How did Rabbi Loi go and cut down the tree? They're peros.
They're called peros because they will become peros, not because they are peros.
The Mark called it already a shoyim l'peiri, and therefore it's a peiri already now in its present state. Is Hashver on Rabbi Loi from this memra of Rabbi Nachman? Says Rabbi Loi, don't be so critical. The reason why Rav Nachman argues with me, because Rav Nachman, the Amakir Rabbi Yossi, the Nan Rabbi Yossi Omer, smother Osir Mneishu Peiri, Upligi Rabbanan Alei. When you have smother is very, very, very small peiros of grapes. They are less than boiser, as we'll see. Boiser means that they're really a little bit larger. Smother is when they're really tiny. Rav Yossi says they're already is an Isser Orla because they're already peiros. Even though they're not fully developed, they're not even partially developed, they're as small as. Very small. Nevertheless, it's still us. The Pliya Rabbanan later, Rabbanan say, no, it's not usher yet. When will they become usher? If you look at the Rashi, three lines from the bottom, the Pliya Rabbanan Leib, Mesechtes Orla, Diktoni Reisha, two lines from the bottom, who alin, ba'lulavu, make fanim, usmoder, mutar mishum arla. they're mutter because they're so small. This is gunish mit gunish. Rabbi Loi Davik Rabban. Ah, so therefore the Gemara is saying it is a machloikis in Mishnayis and Orla between whether smother is a peri or not a peri, machloik between Rabbi Yossi and the Rabbanan, and that's the machloik between Rabbi Nachman and Rabbi Loi. Rabbi Loi is going like the Rabbanan that say that it's so small, it's not choshev peri, and Rabbi Yossi as well as Rabbi Nachman say, no, it is a choshev peri. So if I don't learn like the Rabbanan, so don't criticize me. It's stuck true that there's a machloikas lagabe grapes, but there is no machloikas lagabe other fruits. Fatanan, I'll show you. From what point do you now let to cut down the trees? Oh, that's what Rabbi Loi did. From what time can you not cut down the trees in Shmitiyah? Rabbi Shami Amun Koli Lonis Mishayetziyah. Mishayetziyah, says Rashi, is Tchilasu Alin, when they start. The leaves start blossoming Mimei Nisan. As you know, when it gets April, right before Pesach time, all of a sudden, those barren trees start going and blooming with leaves start coming out, and then it becomes very, very beautiful in a period of a week or two. What looked like these raw, barren trees, all of a sudden are gorgeous with all these beautiful leaves. So from that moment on, even though you don't see one fruit yet, it's just the leaves, you're no longer allowed to cut it down. That's a big chum. You look at each species of fruits differently. Hacharuven, those are the famous boxer ones, which you break the carob, which when you break your teeth on another 2 weeks of measurement on Tu B'Shvat. Mishisharshiru. What means shisharshiru? Rashi says it looks like a shersheris. Shersheris means like a chain. And if you ever saw a piece of boxer, you see that has like mountains and valleys in it. We have the pits in, and where you have the other part, so it looks a little bit like a chain. Okay, so when you have the fruits start appearing like the chain, right, then you now let it cut down the tree anymore. Like you find them, or the geffen that we're talking about, the vines of the vineyard, mishiyagriu. What is exactly shiyagriu? We'll see in another line when the peiros, the grapes, are in the form of boiser. We'll see that in another moment. Vazesim. When you're talking about olives, Mishionitsu, says Rashi, is similar to the mischali that we had before, when you have those shells on the outside, when they're still on, by the dates. Here we're talking about the nets on the outside of the zesim of the olives. Misharkalonis, everything else, Mishionitsu, that I already agree with you, says Beisil to Meishamai, Sharkalonis, Mishionitsu. Okay. V'yom Ravasi. When we said before by the Geffen, Mishiagriu, what's Agriu? Hu boiser, hu girua, that's the Yagriu, Vupulalovan, and that's also the white bean. Pray tomorrow. The white bean? We're talking about grapes. Pull a love and soak a daita. How does a grape become a white bean? It's like the white bean, like you have the chulin beans, the small little white beans. Once it hits that size, that's the size of boiser, that's the size of a girua, that's the size of geffen. Okay. Uman shamas laid the omer boiser in smoderloi. Who's the one that says that when does it have a shame peri? When it's as large as boiser, but not when it's still so smoderloi. Smoderloi is still so small as a gunish. Boiser is already a larger stage of growth. A later stage of growth. So man shamas laid the omer boiser in smoderloi. That's Rabban, because that's the Rabban that disagreed with Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi said smoder, and Rabban said, oh no, smoder is mutter mishamarla. It's got to be larger. It's got to be boiser. So it's Rabbana. Uktani near machloikis is only legabi what case? The case of the geffen, of the grapes. Uktani shark ilanis, all other ilanis, which would include dates. Notice dates was not mentioned anywhere in this Mishnah. That's Mishiyotziyu. Ah, so you see from this that both agree that even if the dates haven't even come out yet, what's Mishiyotziyu? Rashi says that's Tchilas Alin. Just the leaves have come out. I don't even see any budding of the dates at all. Zero. It's already awesome to go and cut it down. How did Rabbi Loi go and cut it down? So tomorrow, Rabbi Loi bin Nischani cut. When he cut it down, it is because they were talking about male trees. You remember we had this earlier on, that there's a difference between a male tree and a female tree. I don't exactly understand this, but this is the way the agriculture works. In fact, there was an article recently about they found in Eretz Yisrael some seeds from old things, and they had to go and distinguish between the male ones and the females.
They had to grow to sprout.
Yeah, anyway, so they were showing that how Eretz Yisrael, some people lived there already hundreds and thousands of years ago, not a few Palestinians who walked that came in a few years ago. This is showing Eden had been there from the beginning of time. But getting back to the Nischani, who says the Nischani? So look at the Rashi, which is parallel to our Gemara, one line. This was the case. Cuts. Tomorrow shall dekel zachar it was a male tree. The Einon Mispashlim Boy Oilomis. These fruit will never, ever ripen fully. The Goyden Oysim Benissen, the word Goyden means to harvest them and listen. They Mispashlis Mealeyen, and then what happened subsequently? You cut down these fruits, you put them into clay kapois tamarim from lulav, that was like probably the koishachuch that they used to put in the lulav and the hadasim and the ravois. And they always remain small. In other words, we're not talking about that it was at the early stages of growth, and the Gemara is saying, how could you do that? You're going to ruin all the pears.
It's already fully grown midget fruit.
It's fully grown midget fruit. They're not going to grow anymore because this is from a male tree. So he waited until the maximum, and now he cut it down, and then according to everybody, that would be fine. There's no hefsid. No, we'll stop here. Have a wonderful day, everybody. Zayt Gesundheit. Any questions?